Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Betches Media presents...
I would like to speak to America's men for 1 minute.
That slacker barista.
I start getting full of emotion.
Now we're going to build this new bridge here.
Can I provide a definition?
Mm-hmm.
No, I can't.
Betches Up Podcast.
Like, how are people surviving?
Hello, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Sammy Sage.
I'm Caitlin Bird.
And this is the Betches Up Podcast, where C-SPAN meets the group chat to help you process and laugh at the biggest topics in U.S. news and politics. And you know, gals, I was thinking, I always just breezed through that intro, and it never occurred to me to think, are those your real names? Because you really never know. I don't know if you guys saw this, but George Santos' former roommate went on TV yesterday saying he never lived with anyone by that name.
Wow. I didn't see that one. I got to add that to my list for tonight. That is... Who did he, what name did he live with?
I think it was like the Devin Holder one. But every day, I mean, it's like I don't even know. It's like, do we do daily Santos lie updates? It's just an ever expanding.
That.
Oh, you are. Perfect.
I'm doing it like in Banshees of Inisherin. Until he resigns, I'm going to drop an embarrassing fact about him. Although the capacity for embarrassment doesn't exist. A fact that to the normal, non-sociopathic human would be deeply shameful if even one of them were to be revealed about us.
To me, that was the hallmark that he was never Jewish. Like, we're a people that we feel deep shame about everything. So the fact that this man had no shame, or
I'll be honest,
immediately not.
The second that the things about his business came out, I knew he wasn't Jewish. I wasn't like fundamentally questioning his identity at all before all of that. But once all of the lies about his resume came out, I knew that the Jewish thing was a lie too, because so many constituents in that district are Jewish. And that was obviously just like another fabrication to try to get people. And it worked. 142,000 mm-hmm. of them.
Shocking. I mean, even this roommate, I'm reading more about the roommate interview, and he's just sort of like, I don't understand like how this happened. Why did nobody ask any questions? Everything this guy said was a lie. And he stole my scarf and wore it to the insurrection.
Right. That is actually my favorite new fact, that the scarf he wore to the insurrection was stolen. Why did nobody ask questions? People did. And and that is an issue with the loss of local journalism,
mm-hmm.
I would say, to be honest, because this was a question of resources. Like, you just mm-hmm. needed one mm-hmm. guy at fucking Newsday, which is the local paper on Long Island, to come out with this, which should have been able to happen.
New York, the theme of today's episode is definitely that New York is in its flop era. But, you know, this made me think, did you guys ever have a name when you were younger, when you were like, I don't know, I was always like, I'm going to be a Hollywood actress and I'm going to obviously have to change my name, because I don't even really have that much of a clunker of a last name compared to, like, you know, what it could be. But I always decided that my middle name's May. So I decided that if I was going to be a Hollywood actress, I was going to go by Amanda Mayford. I thought that was really classy.
Wow.
And now I'm like, I would never change my last name. My kids are having my clunker of a last name. But Caitlin, did you ever have a name when you were younger that you were like, when the minute I turn 18, I'm changing it?
No, I was a very strong, like, you my name was perfectly picked. I actually spent a lot of time fighting against people shortening my name. There's only like one person out there who's allowed to shorten my name.
Do people call you Kate?
No. No, people do not call me Kate.
Katie? Yeah. Oh my
There's
God, imagine
one person
not
who calls
a Katie.
Me Katie. Yeah.
Oh,
that's,
wow.
It's just bizarre.
That has never occurred to me.
It feels super weird. I have one person who calls me Katie, and he's the man who named me. So he's the only person who's allowed to.
That's really cute.
It's not my dad.
Oh, who is it?
It's my godfather. He told my parents one day, he's like, what about Caitlin? Because they were wondering about names, and he mentioned it. And they were like, that sounds actually really perfect. And so I was named Caitlin. That's how that happened.
So he picked it, and then he was like, actually, second thought. We're going Kate.
I reserve the right to tweak.
He reserves the right to tweak. He's the only one who's allowed to do it. Yeah. Otherwise, I think the only other time, well, I will say, when I went away to boarding school, the first year I was like, I'm going to be a new person.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to carry all of my old stuff, you know, from seventh grade.
Oh, I thought that every year.
Yeah.
I went by K for a year, and it was K-A-Y. And I went by that for a year. And then I was like, we'll never do this again. So mm-hmm. there was a brief moment where there's a name change. But I've always like, yeah, that was a mistake. I realized really quickly, like, I actually like keeping my full name going.
Mm-hmm. Sammy, K-Bird, did you have a fantasy name? Yeah, that's great. There's no wrong way to go with any variation other than, I think, you know, Katie, just because I don't think it tracks for you.
Yeah. Katie Bird.
There, I feel like there is a Katie Bird, maybe a different one.
No, there definitely is. Bad. It just, it's not, it's there. She might have written for Jezebel. I don't know. might be, but it was spelled, it was Katie Weaver. And it was spelled C-A-I-T-Y. And it was just a very different Kate energy.
There's so many variations when you really explore this. Maybe an extra episode on all the different variations. I just didn't really like love my name. I was always sort of like in crisis about like the nickname, the spelling mm-hmm. of the nickname. Ultimately, I just kept returning to Sammy and couldn't get away from it.
And you iconically have the Instagram handle Sammy.
Well, now we're done. Now we can't, unless I'm like joining a witness protection program, we are sticking with it.
Which isn't out of the question, given some of your instincts.
Oh my God. Yeah. We'll see. Hopefully not. We'll have to wipe this if that does happen.
Yeah.
I just never liked my last name, which was Fishbein. And I was just like, all right, I'm going to have to fix this later, but we'll mm-hmm. deal with it post-marriage, or maybe I won't even need to deal with it like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I probably would have just stuck with it, but I never liked it.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially since, I mean.
What about you?
Mine was Amanda Mayford, but I would only change my, I always said I would only change my last name to Cohen. I really like that last name. And
so did I. I was like, really? Why can't I just be a normal last name, like a Cohen?
Because it's
a Goldman.
Just like, listen, Goldman. Yeah. When you're like, you know, a young Jewish girl and you maybe have a clunker of a last name, or you feel like you do, it's just like Cohen's just so beautiful and pretty. And now I love my last name, but
also like,
I love Jin too.
For me, I was just like, Jin is cool. I was like, why do I want to like invoke fish with like my last name? That to me was like the worst offense, but whatever.
All names are beautiful.
We're past
all names
it.
Are beautiful. Yes. Even Andrew Devonholder or whatever that fucker's name
DeVolder.
Is. DeVolder. Thank you. Thank you. Famously, I only read the news and Sam Lee mainly watches it. So.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Today's show also begins with a deranged man with conservative conspiratorial leanings orchestrating an attack on Democratic lawmakers. And I suppose I should be more specific. Yesterday, I was chatting with Sammy about how, like, I just feel like we still should be talking about Paul Pelosi. The poor man can't go to a social engagement without covering his head. And every time I see those, I'm just like, God, this is an old couple that they came after. And it's just, this is sort of, you know, in the same genre. So what happened here was that a failed Republican candidate for the New Mexico State House was arrested for allegedly paying four men to shoot at the homes of four elected officials. He also is accused of pulling the trigger himself in at least one of those shootings. The officials included the House Speaker, a state senator, and county commissioners, the latter of which certified the election result. Though 39-year-old Solomon Pena paid the men $500, that's all it took for you to shoot at a home, $500 to shoot at the homes, like at them. But then he was like, but go lower. So it's like, what do you mean shoot at them? It's a shooting. You're shooting at people. And in one case, bullets went through the walls of a 10-year-old girl's bedroom while she was sleeping. That girl's mother is State Senator Linda Lopez, and she said in the middle of the night her daughter came to her in the night to say that she felt like a spider had crawled on her face, and when they looked, it was actually sheetrock dust because from when the bullet had tore through the 10-year-old wall. Several of the targets included lawmakers who, this part's really creepy, Solomon Pena had visited in the days prior to insist the election had been stolen from him. So this is really exactly what people like us have been warning about. It's like when you put this in people's minds, it's incredibly dangerous, especially paired with the proliferation of guns in the country. It's like, no, let's just go shoot at them. It's like if you're going to shoot at something, you're very likely to kill somebody.
Well, I think the shooters, my understanding of the story was that the people he paid were like, let's just do some like warning shots to scare them. And Pena was like, no, shoot at 8 p.m.
Gotcha.
At the windows when people won't be lying down, because he wants them. And the quote in the paper was like, to something like to get the intended effect of the shooting.
So these are assassination attempts, which I'm not really seeing reported anywhere. Or like,
with
not
plausible
quite.
Plausible deniability, maybe.
Got
but
it.
Like,
yeah.
Here's my question. Like, this is where the line between like active, intentional, authoritarian moves and mental illness, they start to sort of like converge and combine. Mm-hmm. And you're like, is this guy just like absolutely is this a sanity problem? Or is he perfectly sane and he knows that he's just sort of pushing the boundary for challenging elections? I'm kind of inclined to say like the latter. I'm not going to like excuse this, to be honest.
Yeah. What do you think, Caitlin?
Okay. He was trying to be an elected official, so he can't argue that he's not sane.
He'll try.
You know, like he's compos mentis enough to decide that he should be in charge of things and representing people in government. So, like, in theory, what he's saying is, trust my judgment. That's what the purpose of elected people is. And it's also why the election theft narrative is so dangerous and so damaging. Because elections are the only way we can express our desires from government. It's the only control that we as regular people have over our government. And if they're being subverted, we are seeing thousands, hundreds of small coups taking place over and over and over again, you have to understand that what you're telling people when an election is stolen is that authority has been taken from them and that there's no way to get it back, and it's being used to continue to stifle them. There aren't a lot of peaceful resolutions to things like that. You know, there's not a lot of peaceful resolution to, oh, we took the power that you're supposed to have over your government. And this is why it's not quite, I agree with Sammy that there is a certain amount of like mental illness converging. But that's also the point of like creating these narratives, is that people who struggle to have space between reality and intent are going to make these things mix because they're being told that they're in an existential fight over whether or not their government is going to represent them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like people that have like mental illness that makes them especially prone to conspiracy theories, and they're just being delivered this very animating, wide-scale conspiracy theory. I feel like a lot of these, especially men, I mean, I don't think this is a white man, but they're just waiting to be told, yes, something is being taken from you wrongly. They've wanted to hear that their whole lives, and this is just the perfect opportunity. And this is just, it pisses me off so much. I mean, obviously it's horrifying, but it's like, if I were a Democratic mom in New Mexico thinking about running for office and I saw this, I would think again. And that's intimidation. Like, I'm going to be honest. And like, this woman's daughter saying like a fucking bullet went through her wall. And it's just like, we're telling all these women, run for office, only we can change it while this is happening. And it's that, to me, that's just the great tragedy of it.
Right. It should not be a physical threat
to be a county commissioner.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally. Because these are things that people do, maybe not county commissioner. It's hard for me to keep track, but like a lot of local government jobs people do on top of their, you know, full-time jobs. You know, it's not like George Santos, literally, if he resigns, he's got no job.
Yeah. And I mean, they're not, you know, a lot of these jobs are very low paid. And you're right. Like they are on top of people's full-time jobs. And it's also just like, when has that ever been considered a dangerous role? Like there's no Secret Service for them.
Right, exactly. It's never been a dangerous role. Like there's not a Parks and Rec episode where a county commissioner is shot at in her child's room.
Maybe they need a reboot.
Yeah. Bridget just sent me like an interview with Julia Louis-Dreyfus where she said she had been offered potentially like reviving Selena Myers. And she's just like, we can't. Like the reality is too, how do you revive Selena Myers when like they're serial liars in Congress?
Yeah, the hardest job right now is writing politics jokes for The Onion. That's unbelievably, that has to be the hardest job. Like every day you wake up and it's like, I have to find a way of highlighting absurdity in the system, but it can't be so close to reality that people actually think it's real.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah. No, that's I would just wake up miserable every morning.
I was literally before you came on, Sammy, I read a headline from HuffPost that said like Texas Republican asks for a food made of aborted fetuses to be labeled. There is no food made of aborted fetuses.
That's disgusting.
Just putting it out there.
These people are so perverse.
They're
the
fucking disgusting.
They
yeah.
They are going to attack like Gwyneth Paltrow for her placenta smoothies, though. Like,
fine,
it's gonna
go
get. You're gonna see like a whole bunch of women who like want to eat their afterbirth being like stopped. Like, sorry, it's made out of. And you're like, there's an actual human child.
You know, Gwyneth Paltrow's like, I think if I can go without.
I just, you know, like,
my placenta mess. Like,
we all dread the what should we have for dinner question. I know I do. I love a home-cooked meal, but I don't always have the time, energy, or groceries to make it happen. Being able to feast on a delicious meal without the long prep and cook times is what drew me to Home Chef over the other guys. Home Chef's meals are effortless, so I can spend less time trying to be top chef and more time watching it. Whether you prefer classic meal kits with pre-portioned ingredients and easy instructions, speedy recipes ready in less than 30 minutes, oven-ready kits with pre-chopped ingredients, or quick microwave meals that assemble in minutes, Home Chef has you covered for delicious meals without the hassle. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Home Chef has over 30 options a week and serves a variety of dietary needs, so you never have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering our listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life, and of course, free shipping on your first box. Go to homechef.com/feverdream. That's homechef.com/feverdream for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard that right. homechef.com/feverdream. Must be an active subscriber to receive free dessert.
For the rest of the show, like I said, New York is in its flop era. So today we're going to discuss some controversy involving New York Governor Kathy Hochul's appointment of Hector LaSalle to lead the New York Court of Appeals, which is the state's highest court. So this is a New York story, but it's broken into the national conversation. And for me, I think it's an interesting example of where Democrats disagree on like what a moderate is and how moderates need to expect more pushback as progressives, I think, are like kind of emboldened by the election results in the past couple of years. Like people are on our side on things like abortion and workers' rights and labor. So lots of background here that I will read through before we discuss. The New York State Senate Judiciary Committee will hold a hearing on her pick today of Hector LaSalle, Kathy Hochul's pick. And it's going to be the first time we hear from him publicly since his nomination and the reaction. It's happening right now. The vote might be happening right now. By the time you listen to this, they might have already voted on whether to block or proceed with his nomination. They have never rejected a governor's pick. And Kathy Hochul says that even if the committee rejects him, she's going to try to make something happen to get a vote to the full Senate floor. There's some lawsuit she thinks that she can file that she's like, nope, I'm fine. I'll overtake that committee. And the risk there is, you know, not only going over the committee's heads, but she, you know, this guy's pretty unpopular with Democrats. So she's going to be put in the position of making deals with Republicans to get those votes. And we are talking about, you know, New York State. So some background here. Kathy Hochul was apparently given, you know, Kathy Hochul had a tough re-election and she really asked for a lot of help from a lot of people. So then when she won, she was given a list of 7 candidates to choose from. And Hector LaSalle was considered to be the most conservative. This guy isn't a conservative. He's, you know, considered more of a moderate, but the most conservative of the list she was given. And People told her, please no. A group of 50 professors asked her not to choose him. There were other groups that said this is not the best pick. Like, why squander your goodwill and all of the political capital that, like, you need to, you know, return to the people that just got you elected? But she chose him. And it ended up, you know, as controversial as I think she was warned about. She has since focused mainly on the historic nature of LaSalle's nomination. He would be the first Latino to be a chief judge on the State Court of Appeals, and he would also be the first person of Puerto Rican descent on that court, to lead that court. Many New York progressives strongly agree with this choice. They point to a selection of cases that they say symbolize LaSalle's incompatibility with the more progressive legal interpretations that most New Yorkers, I think, want to see. Like, we're a pretty blue state. Specifically, they say he leans too conservative on the issues of labor, abortion rights, and due process. And this nomination is, you know, it's really split New York Democrats. A lot of prominent leaders are saying that his record has been misrepresented. He's become a victim to these purity tests. You have Hakeem Jeffries joining Kathy Hochul to uplift him. And I've heard a couple other, primarily state leaders of Latino background, not all of them, plenty of Latinos oppose him too, saying that they feel like he's been held to an unfair standard because he's a man of color. So just a few more details about those specific cases. The one about abortion rights, it actually relates more to abortion rights groups. So in 2010, LaSalle agreed to subvert a New York Attorney General office's investigation into pregnancy crisis centers. So the AG was looking into whether the center in particular, was practicing healthcare without a license. But LaSalle blocked that office from accessing documents it had subpoenaed. It had subpoenaed lots of materials about the crisis pregnancy center, including donor lists. And, you know, there have been some supporters of Hector LaSalle's that say, like, well, you know, pro-choice groups wouldn't want their donor lists shared anyway either. But I think it's sort of the sum of, I think there's more to it than that. But, you know, his supporters say that this was about the First Amendment and not his views on abortion. But repro rights activists say that New York just can't risk a nominee who is ever ruled in favor of anti-abortion rights groups, especially when this position would have him overseeing the entire state judiciary, which is 3,000 state and local judges for a 14-year term. Finally, the other cases that have prompted a strong response from most of the state's biggest unions is one basically that allowed, people say allowed, for unions to intimidate union leaders. So a lot of background there, and the cases that people have picked are kind of specific, but you know, Caitlin, you're the pro at New York politics. What else is at play here? Is this just about the two cases? Is it about the recent context of the makeup of the court? What is this really a conversation about? Or is it specifically about Hector LaSalle?
It's really about the composition of the court. I think it's also, you have to consider that last year Dobbs happened and judiciary became a focus for a lot more people. In addition, the decision to strike the maps that would have given New York Democrats a very safe districts and basically made it impossible for like George Santos to win, mm-hmm. Also were struck by those courts that had been packed. And you think, well, packed by whom? Like, Democrats run the state. Well, the answer is that for a long time, first of all, New York, as recently as 2000, had a Republican governor mm-hmm. and had Republican mayor in New York City, Republican governor in the state house, George Pataki, and had a Republican state senator, Al D'Amato. So we actually had like a lot of Republicans not that far
back.
That's true. That's number one. And number two, once Democrats started to take over, they spent enormous amounts of time, as someone would call it, hippie punching. There was a lot of effort to basically marginalize their Democratic base over and over again. So this is all coming through because Democrats, and specifically Andrew Cuomo, put a lot of more conservative members on that court. It blew up in everyone's faces. And now we're living with the consequences. And finally, I wanted to mention something else about LaSalle. That he ruled that you can strike dark-skinned women from jury pools in voir dire. And the entire Court of Appeals above him unanimously struck that decision. And they were like, I'm sorry, you can't consider. He's like, oh,
what was
yeah,
he was like, dark-skinned. Dark skin isn't a protected class. Like,
yes.
I think famously. It is.
Yes, it literally is. Oh, it's boy. Something called a Batson standard. And it was actually a really serious problem, because that's, you'll be unsurprised to know that they kept using it to strike black jurors whenever there were cases. And weirdly enough, I don't know if you know this, black people get sentenced more harshly. And the darker you are, the worse that process is. So, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess I don't totally understand why she picked him.
Yeah.
Like, other than maybe some back
I think that's what people are saying now, is that, like, this makes not a lot of sense, other than she felt like she had some obligation to fulfill, that, like, there are lots of ways to be making a historic nomination is obviously not, you know, like,
it's bullshit.
worth having, like, a conservative person on the justice. So, you know, I've definitely seen a lot of people saying, like, who does she owe? What is this about? And now it's like, I don't know this man. Maybe he's an asshole, but she's put him in a bad position too, to potentially be voted against. This was never a good pick. Like, I think there's this sort of, like, especially in the judiciary, there's, like, a certain way that things have gone and a certain path. And once you, you know, check all these boxes, you're entitled to the next one, which is, you know, chief of the appeals. And it's like, well, actually, attitudes have changed and people aren't going to tolerate, like, people are going to pay attention to the, and he's like, his supporters are saying, you know, this is just three out of his sort of, like, 5,000 cases, but he also really hasn't authored much personally. And it's like, okay, what are we supposed to go off of if not the things that you do? It's just so bizarre that Kathy Hochul put herself in this position again for needing to call on national Democrats to support her and then potentially, like, make deals with Republicans to get this person through, because at this point, her calculus is probably that, you know, it would cost more to withdraw it.
The people who are like, it's only three of his decisions and thousands, it's like, well, have you ever canceled anybody for the one tweet where they said the N-word? Like, yeah, that's the whole point. Like, you just showed yourself in that. Like, you were just – that's all that – yeah. That's the whole point.
When you rob somebody, you don't say, judge, it was just one bad decision out of all of them. Like,
right. Like, that's not – yeah. Deterrence wouldn't – there would be no laws. It just – anyway. I just feel like – this belies to me how not actually, like, progressive New York is. And I know that it's, like, blue state is a given. Like, yes, because there are populations in New York who they're not going to vote for the Republicans, so they're just going to vote for the Democrats. But in reality, like, New York is the seventh circle of socially progressive and fiscally conservative. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what that is. What New York kind of really is. So I think that this is, like, a reflection of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Eric Adams is mayor of New York, you guys. Like,
he was at the fucking border wall this week. What is happening? Why are our politicians so embarrassing? I think Millie had an idea, and I don't know how we could execute it, but it would be very fun if, like a New York LA face-off, but how we're both in our flop era. Like, who's worse? Like, their city council stuff. I mean, thank God they delivered Karen Bass. So
they had elections more recently and were able to fix it. I think the good news is Eric Adams won by 0.5% in ranked choice voting. So the chances that he successfully pulls off another inside street where people don't understand how the system works and don't understand that you can vote for multiple people and definitely don't understand, like, his coalition is, like, this narrow. I kind of wondering what the hell he's doing. But as long as somebody mentally competent is running against him next time, you're pretty much guaranteed.
Not somebody unleashing feral cats on Elise's block.
I mean, that's New York politics is a weird place. I know. Like, it's about to say, like,
yeah.
But as long as there's somebody reasonable who's going to run against him, Eric Adams has got this one term as mayor, which is, I suppose, why he's trying to facilitate like a escape from New York style policing. You know, just turn the entire city into a jail.
Why isn't he at the border on Long Island? You know, there's a border. It's Manhattan.
Yeah.
The Hudson River is a border. It's just like, why are you at the Texas border? You have a border, sir.
Yeah, I know.
New
it's
York's
so funny.
Famous for kind of being the first city that most people get to. Anyway.
Please stop sending migrants to blue states. And then fucking New York mayor is going to the border wall.
Also, go to JFK. That's where they're coming. Like, I think that's where, you know, if he really wants to do something, Like,
people overstaying
wasn't that the whole
visas.
Point that the wall doesn't work because people fly? Like, if you really care about this and not just about performance art, which this is, you would be not doing this.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And it comes back to Hochul and Democrats here kind of being not progressive, kind of being this group of people that think that I have no idea why. Kathy Hochul, this needs to be said a million times, barely won against Lee Zeldin, who's a terrible person. And it wasn't because, oh, you know, Lee Zeldin like somehow initiated some huge wave, or there's all these Republican votes who were up for grabs for her, but then she neglected them. What happened was Democrats stayed home. Democrats were like, I don't give a fuck about you, Kathy. And the thing that dragged her across the line, as she was huge lodestone of political awfulness that she is at this point, is, you know, was dragged across the line by Working Families Party actually activating at the last second and doing their organizing and turning out their voters and getting people to actually remember that there's a governor on the ballot and it's important.
And progressives, like real progressives being like, yeah, she's not her favorite choice, but this is the other one, really activating for her, like going to bat for her. And like, it is one of those things where it's like, we did too. And I never want to feel embarrassed for having supported a candidate on SUP. And that's, I mean, that's, yeah. I wonder if, because she had that fuck up with her lieutenant governor too. And it's like, is nobody doing research on the people you choose? I mean, something needs to get fixed there. I wonder if just after that selection, she didn't want to double down, or they're friends and she has a sense that he, you know, deserves it. It's a generational thing. I tried to peek on Twitter about how the hearing's going and people seem pretty frustrated, like they're getting the answers that they thought they would and not, you know, much clarity. But, you know, if they decide to block it, then she's going to be taking some interesting, unprecedented moves to get him through, which we didn't elect the first woman mayor of New York for her to take historic moves to push through somebody who has supported anti-abortion groups. Like, I'm willing to accept his supporters saying, look, he's not anti-abortion. But I'm also with people that are like, if the unions are saying this is anti-union, I'm going to believe the unions. Like, if the anti-abortion groups are saying we're scared of this guy, I'm going to heed that, you know.
If he continues giving reasons why Black people should be struck from juries.
Yeah.
Sorry. I just,
that should be top of the list.
Just, okay. The Legal Defense Fund came out against him. The NAACP Legal Defense Fund was like, no, not
yep,
him.
Yep.
There, yeah. That's a blink. That's immediate. Like, okay, that's done. That's that. That's done. It's just done. There's no more discussion to be had when the NAACP Legal Defense Fund comes out against a candidate. It just should be an open and shut case. So it's like kind of weird. She's fighting so hard.
Yeah, absolutely. We will be watching it and updating you, of course. That is our show for today. Until the end of democracy, for Sammy Sage and Caitlin Byrd, I'm Amanda Duberman, and this is the Betches Up Podcast. The Betches Up Podcast is produced by Amanda Duberman, Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales Pico, and Rebecca Sousmacat. Editing by Rebecca Sousmacat. Social media by Amanda Duberman and Bridget Swartz. Be sure to follow at Betches_sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send us your emails at suppod@betches.com. Betches.